Perk Ches begins. Vayik Asher Zokin Shmuel. Vayosam Asbanov Shaiftim Leisrael. Shmuel is getting older, and he's now appointing his sons to be the ones who are going to judge and deal with the Jewish people. Pasuk Beis. Vayish Hashem Benayim B'chor Yoel. Hashem Mishneu Aviya. Shaiftim B'Ver Shava. The older son was called Yoel, and the second one was called Avia. They were judges in Be'er Sheva. Now, the fact that they were judges in Be'er Sheva made it much harder for the Jewish people to come and be judged. What Shmuel used to do is, as we mentioned last week, he would go around all the cities in the land of Israel, and every city he would come to, he would take care of all the issues that were in that city. His sons, not only did they not go around to every single city, but they stayed in one city. But not only in one city, they stayed at the city which was the edge of Israel. It says, Midan Vad Be'er Sheva. Dan is all the way up north. That's one end of the land of Israel. Be'er Sheva was the city that was the furthest south.
Middle of the desert.
Right. In the middle of the desert. So this city, not only was it not in the center of the land, it was all the way to the edge. So first of all, they didn't go around from city to city like Shmuel did. And secondly, they stayed in the city that was all the way in one end of the land of Israel, which made it much more difficult for the Jewish people to come and take care of their issues by the judges. Pasuk Gimel, V'leihoch banav bidrachav, V'yitu Acharya Botza, Veikhu Shaychat Vayatu Mishpat. This pasuk talks about a few negative things that the sons of Shmuel did. They did not follow in their father's way. Their father made sure that everyone would be judged, you would go from city to city. They not only did not do that and not make sure it would be easier for the Jewish people, but they were very greedy. They were money hungry. And when the Jewish people would come and be judged in front of them, they would ask them for a big sum of money, not only for them but also for their secretaries and their assistants. They made sure that everyone on their team got a very, very nice cut. And the pasuk says that they were v'yatu acharei ha'batza. They were very money hungry. And it also mentions veikuchu shleichad, they actually took bribes. It's a machlokes in the Rishonim, in the Mefarshim, in the commentators, if they actually took a bribe, or just the fact that they made sure that all their people got money, that enough was considered to be that they took a bribe. Vayatu mishpot, they did not judge in the right way, in a righteous way. And that caused the plishtim to take control over the Jews again. As we mentioned last week, the time of Shmuel was a time where the Plishtim let the Jews alone, and the Jews were in control of the Plishtim. They were the ones in power. But now, the fact that his sons did not judge in the right way, they didn't judge in a righteous way, that caused the Plishtim to be in power again. And they were now in charge over the Jewish people. And clearly, the Jewish people are not too happy about it. Pasuk Dalet continues, Vayiskaptu kol zikne Yisrael, Vayivogel Shmuel harmasa. All the elders gather together, and they come to have a conference meeting with Shmuel to deal with this issue. We've got a serious problem over here, and we have to figure out a way to deal with it. And they come with a solution. Vayir Me'ilav, they come and tell him, Hine ata zakanto, uvenecha le'elcha b'drachecha, you are old already, your sons are not following in your path. We would like to request that you appoint a king to rule us just like the rest of the nations. Now, the next pasuk says that Shmuel did not exactly get too excited about this request, and Hashem was not happy about it either. And the question is, why not? The Gemara says, that there are three mitzvahs that the Jewish people have to do once they enter the land of Israel. The first mitzvah is they have to build the Beis HaMikdash, they have to appoint a king, and Limchay Zera Amalek, to erase any remnants of Amalek. We see clearly that it's a mitzvah. It's not exactly clear in the Gemara. The Gemara discusses if it's actually a mitzvah, if it's a commandment, you're supposed to appoint a king, or it's a reshus. You have the possibility to appoint a king if you want to. It's not an obligation, but if you want to, you're allowed. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara if it's actually a mitzvah or it's just allowed. In any case, it seems like it's not such a big deal to have a king. So why was Shmuel and why was Hashem so upset about this request of the Jewish people to appoint a king? So the Malbim goes through three aspects of the issue that was taken with the request of the skenim, of the elders. Number one, it might be true, you are allowed, or you have a mitzvah to appoint a king. However, the timing is poor. There are two different anhagos, two different ways that Hashem takes care of the Jewish people while they're in the land of Israel. One way is the open and obvious miracle of taking care of the Jewish people. They're going to win the wars. The control and the ruling of the Jewish people will be in a very divine and obvious way. It'll be obvious that it's Yad Hashem taking care of them. That's one way. The second way was when the Anhaga of Hashem, the ruling of Hashem, is hidden. It's not clear and it's not obvious that Hashem is helping us and taking care of us and helping us win our wars. Now, while Hashem is obviously and openly taking care of us and His ruling is clear, that's a time where we have to accept the prophets on us. We have to make sure that the prophets will be in charge. And that's not a time to ask for a king. Only when the Anhaga of Hashem, the ruling of Hashem is hidden, and His Ashgacha, His divine providence is not obvious in our lives, that's when it's a time to have a king. Because the king is more materialistic and direct and physical way of taking control. And that should be done only during a time where the Anhag of Hashem is not open and not obvious. And since this is really a time where previously the Jewish people were in control, they were the ones controlling over the police team, they were winning the wars, this is not the best time to ask for a king. And that was one issue that was taken with the request of having a king. Number two. Second problem was that they were now damaging the respect that Shmuel had. Because what were they asking? They were asking, Simulanu melech l'shafteinu. We want a king for what? We want a king to judge us. Meaning, Shmuel, we are not happy with the way your sons are judging us. We want a king to take your place, or take the place of your family, and we want him to judge us. So this is now disrespecting Shmuel by telling him, you're not good enough. We want a king that'll do a better job. And since that was disrespecting Shmuel, that's why the next pasuk says, Vayera hadavar be'eni Shmuel. This request was not found favor in the eyes of Shmuel. That's the second problem with this request. The third issue was that if you pay attention, there's two ways of interpreting this request. How does the pasuk read? Sima lanu melech l'shafteinu k'chol ha'goyim. Please appoint a king that will judge us like the other nations. There's two ways of understanding this sentence. One way is, Sima lanu melech l'shafteinu. We want a king that will judge us, just like all the other nations have a king that judges them. meaning the king that will judge us will be a king that will follow the ways of the Torah. A king is not allowed, he's not on the level of a prophet or a dayan who's in judge in court, or a judge in court that's allowed to change or modify or rule the rulings of the Torah. He's supposed to follow all the rules of the Torah. The Gemara talks about the commandment that the king has to write his own Sefer Torah and carry it everywhere he goes. He himself is supposed to follow exactly the rules of the Torah. He's not allowed to interpret or understand what this rule means, or to rule, okay, this is what the Torah says. He's himself supposed to follow whatever the Torah says. And that's one way of understanding this request. We want a king to judge us, just like all the other nations have a king that judges them. However, there's another meaning in the pasuk. The other meaning is, Sima lanu melech leshafteinu kechal hagoyim. We want a king that will judge us like the other nations, meaning that will judge us not like the rulings of the Torah, rather a king that will judge us like the rules of the goyim, of the other nations. Meaning we do not want this king to follow the Torah, we want this king to follow the secular law. And one understanding of the pasuk, the first understanding that we want him to follow the rules of the Torah, is only disrespecting Shmuel. Because we're saying, Shmuel, yes, you are judging us in the laws of the Torah. We want a king that will also judge us in the laws of the Torah. And we want him to take your place. You are going to be moved from your position, and we want the king to be instead of you. That's disrespecting only Shmuel. The second way of understanding is disrespecting Hashem. It's disrespecting Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're saying, we don't want the laws of the Torah anymore. We want secular law. How did Shmuel understand the request? He understood it the first way. He was down in Lachafchus. He judged the Jewish people favorably. And he understood that they were requesting that there will be a king that will judge them in the rules of the Torah. And that's why it says, Vayera adover v'ene Shmuel, the matter did not find favor in the eyes of Shmuel, because he felt that it was disrespecting him. He did not understand that it was going to be in a way that was disrespecting Kodesh Baruch Hu. But how does Hashem understand it? Let's see. Pasuk Vav continues. It did not find favor in the eyes of Shmuel. Kasher Omer Tanalanu Melech Lashafteinu. Veispel Shmuel al Hashem. Shmuel is now davening to Hashem to ask him what to do. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to grant this request or not?
The Rav of Nevi'im at this time, though.
Well, Shmuel was...
He was the head Navi.
Yeah, the head Navi.
But there was other Nevi'im at the time.
Right. Shmuel was the one in charge. Pasuk Zion continues. V'yemar Hashem al Shmuel, Shema b'kol ha'am, chol asher yomer alecha, ki lo yoich ha'masu, ki oisi masu, v'imloi chalem. Hashem turns to Shmuel and says, go ahead, listen to them, grant their request. You see, they're not disrespecting you. It's not the way that you understood it, that they're just asking for a king that will judge them instead of you. They're asking for a king that will judge them in the secular law. So they want to get rid of me. That's what's going on over here. And it's really disrespectful to Kodesh Baruch Hu, because they're not willing to follow the laws of the Torah anymore. That's the way Hashem was understanding the request of the Jewish people. Pasuk Ches, K'chol ha'masim asher osim yoyim ha'loisi oisim yimitzrayim v'adayim azeh, v'yazvuni v'yavdu aloikim acherim, ken hem oisim gam l'cho. Just like they went against me from the day I took them out of Mitzrayim, the same thing they're going ahead and they're doing to you. What does that mean? Because, what does it mean they're going against you too? Because until now, they had the Anhaga, they had a divine way of ruling. They had a prophet that was in contact with Hashem, and would give over the Dvar Hashem, whatever Hashem said. And this was a direct connection, a direct ruling of Hashem over the Jewish people. Now, they're requesting a different kind of ruling. They are requesting a ruling in a way that's not divine. They want a physical, mundane, materialistic way of rule, of ruling. And they are not, they're sick of the way that that Hashem is in direct contact with them. So the same thing they're doing to me, they're not doing to you. Sorry?
There's in the text, the original text in the Torah, where it says that the king should not be materialist. When you get a king, it's okay to have a king if you want a king, but the king should not be going, raising horses, going back to Egypt, and
right,
stuff like that. So, what you're saying is, Hashem is not happy with or was that Shmuel that was being referred to?
Well, right. Well, Hashem was not happy with the way that they were requesting it, because they didn't. It's not referring to the materialistic possessions of the king. It's referring to the way that Hashem will now rule the Jewish people. Is it going to be in a divine way, a direct connection to Hashem? Or is it going to be in a way that you're going to have the king? He's not on a level of a prophet. He does not have direct contact, direct communication with Hashem. And therefore, the ruling of Hashem will be on a much lower level than it used to be during the times of a prophet.
Well, I understand. Why would Hashem say, I know what they want, it's not good, but to tell them to do it anyway?
So why is Hashem granting their request?
Yeah. I mean, he knows, well, he's saying, they in Egypt, everything happened, they complained, they didn't like one thing and the other. Now it's happening again. So, what is Hashem's thought about it? That, okay, let them do what they want.
Right.
I mean, it's tough. If they do what they want, it's going to be bad for them.
Right.
You got free will. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, well, the Chovas HaLevavos talks about...
Then you see the results, that's all.
They asked Shmuel to ask Hashem. They didn't say, do it yourself.
Right.
So you go, okay, ask Hashem. Now it seems Hashem says okay, but it's, I don't know.
You're right. The Chovas HaLevavos talks about it. He says, in Shaar HaBitachon, he discusses how a person is really supposed to trust Hashem, that Hashem is intimately involved in his life, and he has his best interest at heart, and he will orchestrate the events that have to come into play for that to happen. Now, what if a person chooses not to trust in Hashem? He says, you know what, Hashem, you stay out of the picture. I can take control over my life. I don't need you to help me make a living. I got a good job. I can take care of myself. Chovas HaLevavos says a very telling line. What does Hashem do? Hashem says, if you don't want me to be involved in your life, I will now leave you to your own devices. And you are now going to be, so to speak, in control of your life. I'm not going to be directly involved in your life because you don't want me. Hashem is not going to force himself into our life. It's up to us to choose if we want Hashem to be more involved in our life or not. If we choose to involve Hashem in our life, then He will be. And if we have full trust in Hashem, then there's, so to speak, a deal that Hashem makes. Listen, you trust in me, so I have to take care of you, because you're trusting in me. But if you choose not to trust in Hashem, you're pushing Him away, then Hashem says, okay, fine. Now you want to take care of yourself? Go ahead. Give them to hate. We'll see how that works out for you. And that's exactly what Hashem is doing over here. You don't want me to be involved. You don't want to have a direct connection with me like it's done through a prophet. That's fine.
I mean, shouldn't He have told them? Going to tell them, okay, you want this way? If you have it that way, it's not going to be good for you. If you want it the right way,
right? He's going to now warn them exactly what's going to happen.
He's not giving you a choice here. He's going to
We're going to see. We're going to see.
Want.
No. He's going to. We're going to see right now.
I hear what he's saying. I understand the thing, but it just seems that Hashem is saying, all right, you want to go out and fall down there? There's a hole up there. I'm telling you to go ahead and do it.
That's right. You have to learn the hard way. That's the way it is. That's the way of Hashem.
That's the trouble.
Yeah.
That's the trouble. That's what you want. They learn the hard way all the time.
Well, I'm going to give you the possibilities. You can choose this or that. You know, it's whatever you want. It's your call. I'm going to make it very clear. We're going to see in a minute what's going to happen when you have a king. Okay. And if you still want it, all right, go for it. We'll see what happens.
But this is, they want Shmuel to have king instead Shmuel.
Yes.
But why is Shmuel should appoint? Why elder ask him to do it? Why is elder cannot appoint king by himself?
Well, they want Shmuel to speak to Hashem and see if it's a possibility, if they can really have it or not. Because Shmuel was the prophet. He was the main prophet at the time.
Only he could be trusted to have a new king. Means he said bye-bye and new king. But it's not...
Right, no, they're not rebelling against Shmuel. They're not rebelling against Shmuel. They're not saying, okay, you know, we don't want you anymore. I'm saying, and on some level they are. But they're asking him to be involved in the process and consult HaKadosh Baruch Hu, consult Hashem, see what Hashem says, and if Hashem agrees, then yes, let's go ahead and appoint a king. This is what we want, but they want to do it the right way. We don't want to just go against...
They know he should talk with Hashem.
Yeah.
It's mean appointment, it's not directly appointment, but agreement with
right.
Hashem.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Basic test. That or Shema B'Koilam. Go ahead and listen to what they're asking. You should go ahead and warn them. Tell them. You should go ahead and warn them exactly what's going to happen once we appoint a king. What is the king going to do? Shmuel goes ahead and tell the Jewish people exactly what is going to happen when you appoint a king. This will be the manner that the king will rule over you. He will take your sons. He's not going to appoint them as ministers, as generals. He's going to give them a very lowly position. He's going to put them in his chariots. They're going to run in front of his chariots. They're going to be the ones that are going to handle the chariots, handle the horses. Not exactly a very honorable position. Some of them will be Sari Alafim. Sari Alafim are the ones who are held in a higher esteem. Some of them will farm the fields, others will handle his weaponry and his different chariots that go to war. And these positions are not going to be chosen dependent on the family. Meaning, if a person comes from a more honorable lineage, he will be in a more esteemed position. No. It's just going to be random. You can have a person from a very important family being taking care of the horses, the stable boy, or the one who's going to farm the field. And you have a simple person, a commoner, who's going to go ahead and going to be a general or minister. It's going to all be done randomly. So don't think that if you come from a very important family, that you're guaranteed an esteemed position for your son. It's not going to be like that at all. He will take your daughters. He will take your daughters as cooks and bakers, meaning they're going to be working in the kitchen. They're not going to be wined and dined on. They're not going to be part of the palace or in any esteemed position either. The Radak talks about how he will go ahead and take them as wives and concubines if he wishes. So he's going to have to marry your daughters by choice, whatever he wants. Whatever he wants, that's what goes. He will go ahead and take your fields, your orchards, your olives, the best of these he will go ahead and take for himself and give it to his slaves. Now, it's not clear exactly how it worked. The commentators seem to be disagreeing on what it means that he's going to go ahead and take her fields. The Radak goes ahead and proves that it doesn't mean that he's just allowed to go ahead and take any field he wants to. It only means that when he actually goes out to war, that his soldiers will be allowed into the fields and they will be allowed to eat whatever they want. And he proved that because we have the whole story with Ahav. Ahav was a king, and his wife, Isabel, wanted one of the orchards that belonged to a man called Navas. And she had a whole long story how to get Navas accused in Jewish court of, in court of law. She hired two false witnesses that will testify against him, and he ended up being killed.
And they got rid of him.
They got rid of him and took his field. So that proves that a king is not allowed to just go ahead and take any field he wants to. Because if he was, then he wouldn't need this whole court case. He wouldn't need to hire two false witnesses that would go ahead and lie in court and get in order to get Novus killed. He would just go ahead and take the field, and that would be the end of it. That proves that they are not allowed to take just any field they want. Only when they go to war, their soldiers are allowed to eat part of the fields. They will get a certain portion of your fruit and your crops. He will give it to his slaves. ועשבדיכם ועשבחויסיכם ועשבחוריכם הטויבים ועשחמיריכם ייקח ועושה למלאכתי. He will go ahead and he will take your slaves, your boys, and he will and your donkeys, and he will use it for his own personal use. סוינכם יעשר ואתם תהיו לו לעבודים. You will take part of your cattle, your sheep, and your goats. You will be his slaves. Anything he wants you to do, you are going to have to do. No questions asked. You will scream and daven to Hashem, please help us from be rescued from the ruling of this king. Hashem will not answer you. So pay attention. You are now pre-warned of exactly what's going to happen. It's not going to be a pretty picture. He will basically do whatever he wants with your fields, with your women, with your children, with your possessions. You're not allowed to say a word against him. And when you cry for help, help is not going to come. Pasuk Tes, v'yimanu am lishmaya b'kol Shmuel. The people were not did not really take the warning very well. We still want a king no matter what. Right now the Jewish people are making their intentions clear. Before, it wasn't exactly clear what they wanted. They want a king that would judge them, then they want a king that would just fight their wars. So now, they're saying exactly, they want a king that will not judge them. Shmuel, we're very happy with what you're doing, the way you're judging us. We're not requesting a king that will judge us. We are requesting a king that will fight our wars just like all the other nations. And furthermore, we want a king that will follow the rules of the Torah. We don't want a king that will judge in secular law. That's not what we're asking for. Now Shmuel is appeased. He says, okay, I hear what you're asking for. It makes sense. He now goes back to Hashem and says, this is what the Jewish people said. This is what they want. They were actually asking for the right thing. They want a king that will follow the rules of the Torah. They don't want a king that will judge them instead of me. They're asking for a king that will just fight their wars. Hashem turns to Shmuel and he tells them, Shema b'koyelam, you can listen to what they're asking for. You can grant the request and appoint a king. Go ahead, back to your home, back to your city, and I will appoint you a king. We're going to see next week exactly who he appointed. Well, we obviously know the answer. And we'll see exactly how it was done. Okay, we'll stop here tonight. We have a minion? Yeah, we do.
Israel, Ishtabah, Ispoam, Ishaman, Sansei, Misadam, Isalem, Salam, Shabir, Kurisha, Beribu, Yelam, Kopa, Possa, Shisosa, Shikosa.